So we have been walking through this series called Second Nature, where we have been asking the question, you know, if our goal as a youth ministry, if our goal really as Christians is to become more like Jesus, that's what we exist for. That's what our pursuit should be. If that's it, then how do we make that happen? Like, what are the practical things that we can do to help make that happen? And we've kind of framed it in this way. How do we take the things that are important to God and kind of make them second nature in our lives? The things that kind of come naturally out of our lives? Or are we just kind of stuck? I don't believe the Bible makes a case to the fact that we're just stuck and we can't actually progress in becoming more like Jesus. I think God gives us a whole list of things that we can practice to not change us, but to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the change that God wants to inside of us. These things we talk about, they're not the things that bring change. They just open up our mind and help us understand the change that God wants to bring inside of us. It gives us some clarity in that. And so we're talking through all these things. They're healthy spiritual habits that we should have present consistently in our lives. Last week we talked about the idea of spending time meditating on God's word, listening to what he says, most of the time through God's written word, through the Bible. And we talked about why that was important and gave some tips about how we can do that. And this week we're going to talk about another really important one, and that's the spiritual habit of prayer. And if you kind of had to pick two, these two are probably the ones that we should try to nail down first. Because the other stuff we're going to talk about is totally important. We're going to talk about solitude and rest. We're going to talk about fasting. We're going to talk about celebration and joy. They're all things that God tells us to do. But these two things bring us in direct connection with God. Listening to what he has to say to us connects us directly to him. And praying, speaking with him, having a conversation with him, it directly connects us to him. And that's why these are the two you probably hear about more than any of the other ones. The other ones have total validity, but these two are really, really important. And that's why we decided to start with them, and that's why we think they're a good place to help get us going on this. And so every single one of these spiritual habits that we're going to talk about, we're going to run through it like this. We're going to try to answer the question, what is it? Because we might not necessarily know. I've heard the term, but we might not know. We're going to talk about why it even matters. Why should we do that? Why is it important or helpful to us to practice these spiritual habits? And then just super practical steps of how do we do it? What are some things to get us started on this? Full disclaimer, like I mentioned last week, we are not going to totally be able to talk through every nook and cranny of this concept. You could spend years talking about prayer, never leave the subject, and still not have a total idea of like everything that is involved with it. But the idea about tonight is to kind of get us headed in the right direction and help us understand why and how to have it in our lives on a personal level as a habit, all right? So first, let's answer the question of what is it? What is prayer? You might have heard that, you might have heard prayer. You definitely have heard prayer. You just heard prayer. And if you've been around the church, you've seen it used for all kinds of different things, right? Closed services, open services. We pray in our small groups. We use prayer as transition. We pray silently. We pray audibly. We pray as a big group. We pray as a little group. There's all sorts of different ways that we pray and things that we pray about. And because of that, sometimes it's hard for us to get nail down a real concrete definition of what it is. But simply put, and I think that this is the best definition for our purposes, prayer is just speaking with God. It's having a conversation with God. It's going to him and saying, I want to know about your heart and I want to share my heart with you. That's what it is. And sometimes I think we make it way overly complicated because we hear people who maybe are really good at speaking, and it's definitely not me, but people who are really good at speaking and have like eloquent prayers and, you know, they use all these big words and it's really amazing sounding. And we think like, oh, that's what it has to be. Or it can only be at certain times. Or I can only say certain things to God. There's so much fear and anxiety wrapped up in us when it comes to prayer, praying in front of people, praying at all. But I think if we really understand what it actually is, it kind of dispels a lot of that stuff. It's just talking with God. Like, that's it. It's just us coming to God and saying, I want to know what you're about, and I want to share my life with you. There's all sorts of commands in the Bible about things to pray for and how we should go about it and all that good stuff. But simply, that's all built on the foundation of it's just an interaction with God. And I shouldn't say just, because that makes it seem like it's not important. It's an interaction with God. Isn't that incredible? That the God of the universe is totally willing, in fact, tells us to come and have interactions with him. That's what he wants for us, and that's what prayer is. It's a conversation between you in God. So that can happen out loud. That can happen in the silence of your head. It can happen at church. It can happen at home. It can happen anywhere. But the one thing everyone agrees on is that it's something that God wants for us, and it's something that will help us know his heart better. So that's what it is. It's just a conversation with God. It's not overly complicated. It's us just coming into an interaction with him. And that's really all we need to say about what it is. So the better question then, the bigger question, I guess, is like, why does it matter? Why is it important for us to pray? And again, there's all sorts of reasons that we should pray that are in the Bible and that make a whole lot of logical sense. We don't have time to get through them all. But what we'll do today is here's three reasons that I feel like God kind of led me to that help us know in our hearts this is a reason to start making prayer a habit. Maybe it's a little different spin on it. These are reasons that I think make a great case for why we should start praying habitually. We start praying as a habit, all right? The first is this. We're going to run through this stuff pretty quick. The first is this. Jesus modeled it. Man, he was always praying. And I know that seems way overly simplified. But if we as Christians say that our goal is to be more like Jesus, why would we not do the things that Jesus modeled in his life, right? I mean, that was a big role that Jesus had, is that he lived as an example of how we're supposed to live. And when I look at Jesus' life, prayer was such a huge priority to him. He was always ditching his disciples to go off by himself and to spend time with his Father. We see him praying in front of huge crowds of people. We see him praying with just his disciples. We see him praying with just his best friends. We see him praying with the religious leaders and the people that no one in that society wanted to touch. We see him praying silently. We see him praying out loud. We see him praying by himself. We see him praying for days at a time. And we see him praying for just moments at a time. But we see him praying all the stinking time. And if it was important to Jesus, the person that we're supposed to be modeling our life after, the person that is our ultimate example, man, we have to believe that that's important for us too. Jesus taught about prayer and he validates every single reason that we could ever find to pray and to pray consistently. Like I said, that seems real simple, but man, if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to us as well. So Jesus modeled it. That's really the biggest and maybe the only reason we need, but there's a couple others that I think will kind of hit us where we're at right now as a group. So Jesus modeled it. The next reason that I want to hit on why we should make prayer a habit for us is that prayer keeps us from sin. And the reason I want to talk about this is because one of the things that comes up over and over again in the Christian life, and especially where you guys are at right now as teenagers, the conversation I have probably more than anything else is someone will come to me and say, I've messed up again. I smoked up again, or I went and got drunk at a party again, or I had sex with my boyfriend or girlfriend again, or I went back and looked at pornography again, or I, snapped at a friend again, or I ruined a relationship again. And oftentimes I think we feel like we're just kind of in this cycle of sin where we're like, God, I'm so sorry, and this is not what I want for my life. And then we know we're forgiven, and then we just start walking again, and we find ourselves back in that same spot again and again and again, and we succumb to temptation again and again and again, and we don't put anything into our life to help us resist that. One of the things that is very clear in Scripture and in Jesus' life is that when we pray, we have a greater ability to resist temptation. It's just absolutely true. One of the best examples we find in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, starting at verse 39. What's basically happening here is Jesus is getting ready to be arrested. If you know the story of Jesus, he gets arrested and he's wrongfully accused. And he goes and he dies and he takes our sin onto his own shoulders and gives up his life in our place, taking the things that we deserved. And he's killed on our behalf, and then he comes back from the dead and now he reigns in victory at God's right hand. But before that all happened, he was with his disciples in this upper room, and they were having this meal. And some drama went down that's totally like sitcom or soap opera worthy, where he basically calls out Judas, who's about to turn him over to the Pharisees. And then he kind of takes off with a few of his closest friends, and he goes and he starts walking through a garden, and he starts to pray. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." It's a weird thing to say to someone, right? pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew exactly what was coming his way. And he's earnestly praying to God, man, if there's any other way, please let there be a different way. But not what I want, what you want. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He said. Get up and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. I think when I was a kid, I thought Jesus was like, guys, wake up. You know, like you would wake up like a little kid. The older I get, the more I feel like Jesus is like, what the heck are you doing? Like, wake up. Be on guard. He says, pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And you know, for a long time when I read this passage, I just thought he was telling him to resist the temptation to fall asleep. And I always kind of thought that was weird, right? That kind of seems to be what it's saying. But as I kind of researched this and I started looking at this idea that prayer keeps us from sin, it helps us have victory over temptation, Jesus isn't talking about the temptation for them to fall asleep. Jesus knows all the reasons that they would abandon him in the next coming hours and days and weeks. Jesus knew something that they didn't know. They didn't understand it yet, but Jesus knew that the temptation for them to turn away from him would be very strong in the next few hours and days. And Jesus knew that even though they would return to him and that they would stay with him, that their life wouldn't be easy, that people would persecute them and that they would spread lies about them and do all sorts of evil things against them. Jesus knew all that was going to happen. And he tells them right now, pray so that you will not fall into temptation. How often have you and I prayed after we have fallen into temptation, right? How many of you have said, oh God, like I did that again. I know I do that like weekly, but man, I'm so sorry. I'm so grateful for your grace that you'll always provide forgiveness for me. And then we get up and we start going and we don't put anything into our life to try to help us avoid that pitfall. And we find ourselves right back in the same place again, saying the exact same thing. What if instead of always waiting till after we failed to pray, to go to God, to have that conversation, and what if we did that before? What if we ask God to strengthen us as we walk through a difficult situation? What if we ask God to strengthen us to resist the temptations that exist in our lives? When prayer is a habit in our life, we will know God's heart enough to choose his ways. What if prayer was our first option, not just our second, third, or even last option? I totally believe this because I see it in Scripture that the more we pray, the less we will fail in our pursuit to be more like Jesus. A Christ-like life isn't just about not sinning, but a life that chooses the things of God over the things of the world is on the right track. And the more that we pray, the more that we connect with God, Jesus says you'll be able to resist temptation. So prayer keeps us from sin. It helps us overcome temptation. The last thing that I want to touch on of reasons why it's worth putting prayer in your life as a habit is that God loves it. God values our prayers. And maybe you're like me. I'm a little bit of a cynic. I'm a little bit of a harsh person. I'm sure you're all really surprised to hear that. But I can be kind of harsh. And because of that, I kind of interpret the Bible kind of harsh sometimes. And when I look at my relationship with God and I know who I am and I know what Scripture says about who God is, that, you know, I'm kind of a mess and he's perfect. Sometimes I can view it in a way where it's like, well, what could I ever have to offer? Like, what could I ever have to offer God that he would actually find value in? Because I know just how messed up I am, and I know how perfect that he is. And sometimes I can get to a point where I'm like, none of my efforts really bring any joy to God's heart. I'm just doing my best. But that's not what we see in Scripture at all. We see that God absolutely loves when we talk with him. Not talk at him, but when we talk with him, God loves it. There's this awesome story, or this awesome picture of heaven in the book of Revelation. It's at the very end of the Bible. It's a mind trip, but it's this picture of what heaven's going to be like. And it's a kind of a wild scene. It's really loud. It's really noisy. There's a bunch of angels. There's these four living creatures that have like all these eyes and all these wings and all this craziness. There's 24 elders, people that are around. And then there's the Lamb. who is Jesus, who for some reason has a horn and some eyes. A lot of it's symbolic, but suffice it to say, it's a pretty wild scene, all right? Something that our human minds can't quite grasp hold of and understand. And in Revelation chapter 5, it describes all this stuff, and God starts reading this scroll to these people, and it says this, "And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp," and catch this next part, "in golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So it's this crazy scene, and there's these golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So incense is used to make a room smell a certain way, right? It's like a Glade plug-in, right? Makes the room smell a certain way. Catch this. The aroma, the fragrance, the scent of heaven, God chooses to be the prayers of the people who follow him. Man, he must love that then, right? If he would choose for the fragrance of heaven, the smell of heaven, to be the prayers of people who follow him. And it excites him when we spend time talking with him and having that kind of conversation with him. Sometimes I think we have this in our head that we're just going to bother God. Man, he loves it when you take time to speak with him. That's not where he finds his value or anything like that. But he absolutely loves it when we do that, so much so that he would say that's how he wants his throne room to smell like, which is pretty cool, I think. So I think those are three reasons why we should make prayer a habit in our lives. Now let's move to some specifics of how, and then we're going to practice it a little bit here. How do we develop a prayer of a habit of prayer in our lives? What are some things to kind of get the ball rolling on this? These are just a few. Again, it's not comprehensive. The first is this: associate prayer with an activity. Find something that you do every single day, and decide, I'm going to choose to pray while I'm doing that, or I'm going to choose to pray right before that or right after that. Some examples are, pray right as you wake up. The moment you wake up, rather than checking your phone or something like that, spend a few minutes in conversation with God, just asking him to help guide your life and your day and what you're going to do. Praying before meals, I know a lot of us do that, and sometimes it's just like, thank you, God, for this food. I'm really hungry. Okay, amen. Here we go. Now to the good stuff, you know? But if you have a little bit of time, that's a great time for you to spend talking with God a little bit right before you eat. Maybe riding the bus. Maybe some of you guys ride the bus, and maybe some of you guys are like the first couple stops, and you have some time where you could just sit, listen to music or whatever you do. Man, take that time to have a talk with God. Maybe while you're doing like training for sports stuff. I know some of you guys have to, you know, do a certain amount of running and stuff for the different sports you're involved with. Man, there's a lot of time for you to spend in prayer doing that sort of stuff. Washing dishes, doing chores, falling asleep. It doesn't really matter when. It just matters that you find a time to do it. I'll tell you, for me, I have a sweet ride that's outside right now. It's a Honda Metropolitan scooter. It's hardcore. You're all jealous, I know. And I ride that to work every single day, pretty much every single day. And I choose to take those first 10 minutes that get me into work to spend time praying. Because I can't really like flip through the radio and stuff like that. So on my way to work, those 10 minutes, I just say, like, it's quiet anyway. I'm going to spend time talking with God. It's as simple as that. In the shower, on the toilet, whatever in your life, just find a time that it's like, this is consistent. I'm going to choose to make sure that I'm talking with God, even if it's just for a few minutes every single day. Find a time to do it. Second thing, and this is a little more hit or miss. If you're not into this, that's totally okay. But I would recommend, if you're trying to develop this into a habit, man, write your prayers down. Do like a journal or a notepad or something like that. It's not for everyone. But I know that when I realized what a little role prayer played in my life, I started writing them down, and it helped tremendously for me. Because I would get off track, and maybe you guys are like that. I'd be praying, and I'd be thanking God for something, and all of a sudden I'd be thinking about something way over here that had nothing to do with anything. And then I'd kind of get back on track, and then a few minutes later I'd be way over here. When I would write down my prayers, I couldn't tell you what they said because it's such terrible handwriting, but it kept me on track with what I was trying to talk with God about. And it's not something that you need to do forever. If that's your thing, that's great. But it's not something you need to do forever, but I think it's something that's really helpful as you kind of try to make this a habit in your life. Next thing, make a plan. This is the same thing we talked about last week if you were here. The opportunity to spend time with God is never just going to magically appear to you. You're not going to find time to spend with God. You have to make time to spend with God. So be a little ruthless. Change up your priorities. Change up your schedule. But create a time to spend with God in prayer, to have those conversations with him. Last thing I want to mention before we're going to do something a little different is be real about it. Sometimes I think we have in our heads that we have to talk a certain way to God. Man, God knows every little thing inside of your heart. Everything. Nothing comes as a surprise to him. Yet we think we have to say the right words or say the right things. Man, God can handle your frustrations. God can handle your doubts. God can handle all the anger and the things that are inside your heart that you think he shouldn't want to see. He can handle all that stuff. Don't be afraid to tell him. And be real about what you pray. Don't try to say the right churchy words and the right churchy order. But just be honest about where you're at. Because I think that brings way more honor to God than trying to present a front. Because God knows what you're about anyway. And the last thing that I think is helpful, and we're going to practice here tonight, is in developing a habit of prayer, it's helpful for us to be praying with each other as well. I told you guys this last week. What the majority of the things that we're going to talk about here aren't really things that we can practice here inside these four walls. They're things that you're going to have to choose to do outside of these walls, outside of this time. You're going to have to choose to associate prayer with a certain time in your life. You're going to have to choose whether you're going to be real with God or not. You're going to have to choose whether you take the time to spend with God. You're going to have to choose those things outside of here. But one of the benefits of us having a community here is there are times where we can be encouraging each other. And there are times even outside of this couple hour span on a Wednesday night where we can be in prayer with each other. What we want to do to kind of kickstart this, to kind of help get the ball rolling on this, is we want to take time right now for us to pray together. And I know that that's really uncomfortable for some of you guys. And if you're just like dead set against doing this, it's all right. And we're not going to force you to do anything, obviously. So if you could just, you know, obviously like respect what's happening here, that would be great. But for those of you who are like, I want to make this a habit in my life, this is a way for us to kind of get the ball rolling. So Mike's going to come up. He's going to be playing a little bit in the background. And then we're going to kind of draw back together in a few minutes to close out our time. But what I want you guys to do is to find like four or five people and kind of just split up. You can move the chairs around and stuff. That's not a big deal. But I want you guys to kind of split up and just take some time to pray for each other. If you're not a Christian, like I said, we're not going to force you to do this. But if you want to give it a shot, man, go for it. I don't think God's offended by that. But take some time to pray for each other. Kind of tell each other, this is what I'm going through, or this is what I need prayer for, or this is what I want for us to be praying about. Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's something with your school or with your family or with this group, the things that we want God to make us into. Whatever it is, it doesn't super matter. We just want you to take the time to do it. And I think we would miss a really good opportunity if we didn't try to take that time right now. So what I want you guys to do is go ahead and find a few people. They can be some friends. They could be total strangers. It's cool. Whatever. But we want you guys to kind of spread out a little bit in your chairs and just take a quick minute to talk about what you want to pray about, and then just take some time to do it together out loud. And after a little bit, I'll come back up and I'll kind of close us in prayer, and we'll sing one more song on our way out of here. So go ahead, get up, find a few people, kind of spread out a little bit. If you want to, you can just pull the chairs around if you want. And just really take advantage of this time to kind of come before God together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we really thank you for this time. And God, we just pray that as we've had an opportunity to kind of split up and maybe even just try this for the very first time, God, that you are pleased with even just our obedience to give this a shot, God. And that excites you and brings you joy. And God, we just pray that as we kind of took a minute to kind of put the stuff into practice here, that would get us excited about being in your presence and having a conversation with you more and more. And God, we just pray that you continue to work in these lives of these students who are here and us as a group, God. Lord, and we pray that as we look at our lives, man, we go to you in everything. Lord, we know that your word is really clear, that we're supposed to pray like all the time, without ceasing, without stopping. And Lord, sometimes we look at something like that and it seems like that's impossible. But Lord, we know that when we get our heartbeat into rhythm with yours, Lord, that's exactly what happens. So God, I pray that we would be intentional about that we would strive for that. And Lord, I pray that for some of us, maybe that starts right here tonight. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do in our lives. In your awesome name.